In your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 39, excuse me. Genesis 39. I'm going back to the series that I said that we would walk through periodically. On Joseph, and I thought we'd be finished with it by the end of the year, but it looks like it'll probably be July. This lesson, this part of the series is actually coming from Genesis 39, 7 through 23, but I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. So Genesis 39, 9 and 10, I'm sorry. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Now you know that part of the story. He's in Potiphar's house. He's been purchased by Potiphar from the auction block. He is a slave, and Potiphar's wife has been moving on him day after day, and he finally confronts her and says, I can't do this thing. I'm not going to do this thing. And she becomes furious. So that kind of gives you the look. We have covered his childhood, his boyhood. We have covered the dreams that he had. We've covered how his brothers hated him and sold him to some Midianites that was traveling toward Egypt. We've got Joseph in Egypt, and he has been sold to Potiphar. There was a young farmhand who applied for a job that had been posted. And the farmer met him, and he was a young lad. And he asked for his qualifications. He said, how do I know that you're going to do a good job? And the young farmhand replied, I can sleep when the wind blows. And that puzzled the farmer. He didn't quite know what he meant. But he liked the young guy, so he went ahead and hired him anyway. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the middle of the night by a violent storm as it was blowing against the house, and the rain was falling, and the lightning was crashing. And quickly the farmer got up and he began to check things around the farm to make sure that everything was secure. And they found that the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened and closed. There was a good supply of logs that had been set next to the fireplace. The young man slept soundly. The farmer and his wife began to inspect the outside property, and they found that all the farm tools had been placed in the storage shed. They were safe from the elements. The tractor had been moved into the garage. And the barn was properly locked and closed and shuttered. Even the animals were still asleep when the wind was blowing so difficult. The farmer stopped and reflected for a second, and he began to understand the meaning of the young man's words. I can sleep when the wind blows. Because the farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully, when the skies were clear and everything was good, he was prepared for the storm when it broke. It didn't catch him by surprise. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid. He was at perfect peace. This little story brings an illustration of a principle that each one of us would be wise to learn. There was nothing dramatic or sensational about that young farmhand's preparation. It wasn't some big, awesome thing that he had done. He just faithfully did what was needed each day. He did what was necessary every day. Consequently, peace was his, even in the middle of a storm. A short poem kind of expresses that principle, and I hope it pertains to your life. Isn't it the things you do? It isn't the things you do. It's the things you leave undone, which gives you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. If you don't leave anything undone, then there will be no heartache. But those things that you leave undone will bring heartache when the setting of the sun. So when the sun set each day, Joseph's life could be at rest. He could rest easily because he had been faithful all that day. He had been faithful to God. He had been faithful to himself. He had been faithful to his employer. He had been faithful in all aspects of his life, so he could lay his head on the pillow and sleep. When he was at home with his father Jacob, he had been a faithful son, a son that his father could count on. And when his father couldn't count on the other brothers, he could always count on Joseph. When he tended his father's flocks, he was a faithful and diligent worker. When he was sold to Potiphar, he proved to be a faithful servant. And because he had been faithful in all of those areas, the Lord blessed everything that he did. And it's there in the Word. The Lord was with him and blessed him. And Potiphar saw it. His dad knew it. But more than that, Joseph knew it. In this passage, we're allowed to see that faithfulness of Joseph. It comes across the page extremely clear. He remains faithful to his God. He remains faithful to himself. He remains faithful in the very throes of problems that would have caused many of us, to give up and to fail. If you and I had been treated like Joseph had been treated, and our family turned against us and sold us into slavery, and we were down in Egypt in a faraway land, and now we were working in somebody's house as their personal servant, and all of these other problems kept coming up, I don't know about you, but I would probably throw the towel in and say, that's it. Of course, there is a word for me and you in this passage, in this story. As we pass through life, situations will arise. I guarantee you. Those moments will come up and smack you in the face if you're not careful. Those moments will invade your life, just as they did for Joseph. There's going to be those situations that have the potential of crushing us, throwing us off course, making us throw up our hands and say, I quit. I can't take it anymore. And walk away. Maybe not from God, but from His assignment. That which He has called us to do. That's where Satan is going to hit you and hold you back and try to squish you. The world, the flesh, Satan, they will all conspire against you to get you to quit, to become ineffective, to let down your guard, to turn away. They will do everything in their power to cause us to drop out or fall short of our potential. God calls on all of us, regardless of our age, regardless of our status, regardless of our position. God calls on every one of us to be faithful where He's put us. To be faithful to Him, to be faithful to the calling, to be faithful to ourselves, and to be faithful to others. He wants you and I to stay the course, to run the race, not for our glory, for His glory, until the day He calls us home. Joseph teaches us how to be faithful in spite of the way that life treats us, what life itself might throw up in our face. His life teaches us to be faithful. So I want us to look at that faithful life and see the power that's in that faithful life. There is an authority, there is a power that only faithfulness can produce. There is a favor that comes with faithfulness that produces a power that you and I can walk in. And God wants us to have that power. And in order for us to have the power, then we're going to have to be faithful. Don't confuse having faith and being faithful. One is what you have, the other is what you do. And faithful is what you do. I want you to see, I want us to see that faithful life and the power and the areas in which Joseph highlights in his faithfulness to the Lord. Because God expects no less from me and you than He expected from Joseph. He changes not. What Jesus expected from the disciples, he expects from you and from me. What God called for in his prophets, in his followers, he calls for in you and in me. And if we'll walk in that, then all the things they had we'll have. All the power that they had we'll have. But we have to find that key that'll open that door so that we can step into that new experience, that further experience. Now, a lot of things can bring us to that moment of faithfulness. And faithfulness is not a one-time thing. Faithfulness is the 55th time or the 140th time. Then you can look back and say, oh, I've been faithful. It's not a one-time. The first thing that we have to master is that we might become faithful in temptations. That's point one. I got 5 minutes and 23 seconds. Ain't gonna happen. It's gonna take me at least 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Verses 7 through 9. Faithful in temptations, point one. After a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a great wicked thing and sin against God? He made sure that it went beyond himself. It wasn't just to himself be true. It was to God be true. So look at the context of what's going on here. Joseph, the Bible says, was a good-looking guy. He was young and handsome and strong, had that bronze skin and that wavy hair. He'd have been on the front page of GQ. That kind of wow person. Not that, you know, I know too much about that, but beauty will bring you its own set of problems. Some of us have a terrible time. not really me, though. As Joseph was ministering in Potiphar's house, he caught the eye of Potiphar's wife, and she began to flirt with him. Now, you can tell when somebody's flirting with you. I mean, you can tell. He could tell. And he said under his breath, she's flirting with me. When that happens, I don't know where that came from. It's not like it had been there for 3 years. When that happens, and it shouldn't happen, but when it does happen, the Holy Spirit will prick your heart. Be careful. get ready to duck, because something's going to fly at you. Get ready for it. My football coach used to tell me when I was playing linebacker, he says, if that guard right in front of you pulls and you're running through that hole, you better duck, because the guard from down there is coming this way and he's going to blindside you and wipe you out. And he said, so be careful. Same thing the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. Satan is trying to blindside you. Be careful. A short time after that, she quit just flirting. And she became downright brazen in her approach. She said to him, come lie with me. I mean, you don't get much more direct than that. And he was ready for it. And he refused her advances. But she still persisted. She still hit on him. She still came at him. Then on a certain day, she was in the house alone. Joseph had to do his job. He came in. He was walking. She made sure that she was right there so that he'd have to walk right by her. And she reached out and grabbed him by the cloak. And she screamed at him, lie with me. Joseph did something absolutely admirable. He just left his coat. Listen, I'd rather lose a coat than to sin like that and to perhaps lose heaven. So Joseph left his garment in her hand and took off out the door. In this trial by fire, he had already decided, I'm going to remain faithful to God. I'm going to remain faithful to the Lord. I'm going to remain faithful to me, what I've said. There's several features about this temptation. It's a temptation that every young man would love. He would like it. It would be attractive. We all want to be liked. Joseph said, no. Temptation is a fulfillment of a desire. Or it is to fulfill a desire. Be careful what you desire. Because if you really desire something and it's not the right thing, when that snake raises its ugly head, you're really going to be deeply tempted. So be careful of what you desire. Temptation always hits upon that desire for something to happen. For something to take place. And Satan will make sure that you have the opportunity. The offer from Potiphar's wife was direct and simple. And after all, God had put those desires in man, in mankind, men and women. And today we say people have the right to satisfy those desires, even sexual desires, in any fashion they choose. I can do with my body what I want to do. and nobody can say anything about it. Oh, yes, they can. God's already said something about it. God has a different opinion than the one that's popular today, or that evidently was popular in Miss Potiphar's day. Any sexual expression that takes place outside the boundaries of marriage, a marriage relationship, is either fornication or adultery. I didn't say that. God said that. The Word says that. Be careful. Because both or either are a sin against God. Not just yourself and not just the other party. Not just your spouse, but it is. Or your future spouse. Or it is a sin against yourself. But the greatest sin is against God. Genesis 39:9, my master's withheld nothing except you, because you are his wife. I can't do this wicked thing against God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20, and I'm getting ready to close. Flee from sexual immorality and all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, Paul says. You were bought with a price, that not of yourselves. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife was a response that we need to remember. Temptation will come your way. Trial will press itself against you. Your flesh, Satan himself, the world around us, will pressure you to step over that boundary. And it's going to come packaged in the most beautiful package possible. And Satan will make sure that it's presented to you on a silver platter. Especially if God's got his hand on you for something good. Satan don't care how he does it, as long as he can make you ineffective. He don't care what it takes, as long as he can stop you from your assignment by God. Satan pulled out the big guns and pointed them at Joseph. And Joseph came through in flying colors. I haven't always done that. There's been those times of stumbling, those times when pride rose up. Don't go there. Pay close attention to the Holy Spirit. He is in you, and he will guard your life. Stay faithful to God. Bow your heads with me, would you please?